We want to hear your opinion. Share it with us at Facebook.com/ESPN Southside and Twitter.com/ESPN Southside. Now back to the Southside Connection on the Southside's premier sports station, ESPN Southside AM 1160, ESPNSouthside.com, and Facebook.com/ESPN Southside for the link to listen on your mobile phone.
I couldn't do it to him. State Farm agent Kelly Witt is a big Virginia Tech fan. I was severely tempted to have that last segment presented by State Farm agent Kelly Witt as we ripped into his Virginia Tech basketball program, but wasn't able to pull that one off. I didn't have the heart for it today on a Thursday. That's rare because usually I'm relatively heartless and always looking for don't go there type opportunities. Anyway, you should go to State Farm agent Kelly Witt at 6494 Greensboro Road in Ridgeway. He's at 956-1200, 276-956-1200. State Farm agent Kelly Witt. If you go and tell him ESPN Southside sent you, he will do the discount double check dance for you, which, by the way, I don't think is coming to a club near you anytime soon because, well, the Packers did it and they didn't win a playoff game this year. So, sort of, there you go. Anyway, Tom Brenneman, NFL on Fox. We had a chance to chat up with him earlier today. Glad to be joined on this Thursday afternoon edition of Southside Connection. NFL on Fox broadcaster Tom Brenneman with us on the show. Tom, what's going on? How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Ed, nice to talk to you again. Hope you're doing well. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well. Things are going well, and playoff football always makes it that much more sweet. It's not been all sweet, though, and rosy, at least the last couple of days in Baltimore. Ed Reed had some comments the other day regarding Joe Flacco and how the team may view him. How much do comments like the ones Reed had really impact a team like this, especially going into a big matchup in New England?
I think it's a great question. I'm not around that Baltimore team on any semblance of a regular basis. So for me to really know all the dynamics and the inner workings of the relationship inside that locker room would be really unfair of me to say. But, I mean, I can't imagine it's a good thing. I mean, I don't know if it's a terrible thing. Flacco seems to have sort of, brushed it off, not a big deal. I didn't hear it. When you read the words oftentimes, and all of us are familiar with this, heck, you get an email sometimes, and the tone of it is read one way as opposed to the way it was written. If Flacco's okay with it, I guess I'm okay with it, but it certainly is not a positive thing in any way, shape, or form when you're going into one of the biggest games, not only of this season, but certainly one of the biggest games in the very young career of Joe Flacco. I mean, he's gotten them this far before, but they have not been to the Super Bowl, and so you can make an argument that this is the biggest game he's played in his career.
A lot of people would have argued coming into the playoffs that Flacco is one of the quarterbacks that has, quote, something to prove, end quote, whatever that actually means. Does this week and what's taken place around the Ravens with Ed Reed's comments, does that change it at all? Is the pressure still higher on Flacco maybe than any other quarterback this weekend?
Well, I think it turns up the microscope level. I mean, I don't think there's any debate about that. I mean, you can be a complete novice to the world of television, and if Joe Flacco throws a pick, you can mark it down. The next shot you're going to see on the tube will be of Ed Reed putting his helmet on and having to trot out onto the field to play defense. So you just created that in and of itself, that if Flacco makes a mistake, obviously you're going to be seeing lots of reactions from Ed Reed, good, bad, or indifferent. I would imagine that Reed will go out of his way early in the game should Flacco do something, in a positive light, throw a touchdown pass, whatever it might be, and make it a point to come over and give him a high five or a big hug or whatever it might be to maybe take some of the sting out of the words he uttered earlier in the week.
With this contest, we've spent the first 3 minutes or so of this interview talking about Ed Reed and what he said. A lot of people have discussed that in the media. We still haven't gotten into the New England Patriots. Last week it was talk about Tim Tebow, not so much Brady and Belichick. Do the Patriots, A, care about what people are saying, and B, if so, is that something they constantly use as motivation?
I don't know about the motivation part because this is more of an internal thing in regard to what's going on with Ed Reed. I mean, it's created a distraction that clearly, John Harbaugh didn't want any part of this. I mean, he wanted his team completely focused on the task at hand, and that's taking on a very good Patriots team in a very, very tough place to win. I mean, people can talk about whatever shortcomings there might be of this Patriots team. But clearly, the combination of quarterback and head coach is without a doubt the best combination in the NFL. I mean, it's not even debatable. And for anybody to talk about it is a complete waste of breath. I mean, you just look at the numbers since Belichick and Brady have been together, and they dwarf everybody else in terms of winning games as opposed to losing games. And then it's upgraded, I mean, astronomically when you're talking about them playing at home. You know, Brady had a 30-plus game winning streak at home that came to an end finally this year. But, you know, I mean, he's just been off the charts ever since he's put on a Patriots uniform. And I don't think either one of these guys get motivated by anything going on with another team. I just think that these are two special guys that it wouldn't matter if they were coaching high school football or playing quarterback on a Division III college team. I just think that the mental makeup of Belichick and Brady is they're always trying to prove themselves to themselves or to prove to everybody else that they want to be great, and that's just their makeup. They're two of the hardest working guys that there are in the game, regardless of position or position. So, you know, the Patriots, having been around them a little bit, this is going to be a group that's just going to show up. They're going to be ready to play. Does it mean they're the best team every single week? No, it doesn't. But they will be ready to play, especially at home.
Tom Brenneman, NFL on Fox, joining us this Thursday on Southside Connection. You've had a chance to see Belichick and Brady. You've had a chance to see McCarthy and Rodgers, Drew Brees with the Saints. What about Eli Manning? After what he's done this year, are you ready to put him in that class of quarterbacks? And, oh, by the way, put him on par with his brother Peyton, to whom many have tried to compare him.
I tell you, I would have a hard time putting anybody in a class. And, man, there are guys in the class. But, I mean, look, when you're talking about quarterbacks, all-time great quarterbacks, I mean, Peyton Manning is right in the middle of that entire discussion. So, you know, to try to compare Eli, and people are going to say, okay, well, if you were to win a Super Bowl this year, he's won two and Peyton's only won one. And look, there is that argument out there. It's real. It's tangible. It's something you can put your arms around. It's a statistical fact if it were to happen. But I think anybody in his right mind that really has paid attention to the game would have a hard time putting Eli with his brother. Now, that doesn't mean that he still can't do it. He's got time. He's young. He appears to be getting better and better. He had a hiccup year is what I would call it last year because, you know, he threw all the interceptions and just didn't have a good season. Giants didn't have a good season. They really tailed off at the end and it didn't go the way they wanted it to go. Am I ready to put him in the same group as Rodgers or Brees? I don't know. I just don't know if I am or not. You know, week in and week out, those two guys, it seems like they never make mistakes during the entire season. Eli, from time to time, has had those games where he's made mistakes or multiple mistakes. But look, if you're talking about the top 10 quarterbacks in the league or the top 8 quarterbacks in the league, there is no doubt that Eli Manning is in that group.
Tom, part of the underscored part of the Giants, and it always seems to be the case, I'm not really sure why, but their front four for San Francisco this coming weekend, how different is the front four they're going to get from the New York Giants and what that allows the back seven to do, namely stay back in coverage and only blitz when they want, compared to what they saw last week against the Saints front four, which wasn't always able to get pressure, and therefore they had to bring more people?
Yeah, look, the Giants, when it comes to just the front four in regard to playing the pass rush game, they are, without a doubt, the best front four in the league. I mean, there is no question about it. They're strong, they're athletic, they're quick. They present an enormous challenge. You know, Umanyora and Tuck and these guys, they get a lot of the pub, but, you know, Pierre Paul has had a spectacular year. They're getting some other guys that are playing well here in the postseason. You know, the only thing I wonder about, and I've heard a lot of the so-called experts talk about it, but, you know, how much is quickness offset by what appears is going to be a terrible track at Candlestick Park? The last I heard, it was raining all day yesterday, today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday. You know, so for the quick guys, is their big advantage negated, or if not negated, perhaps, you know, taken away a little bit because of the muddy surfaces and just not being able to be as quick off the ball? So I think that could be maybe the biggest factor of all in this game, if the playing surface is affecting the quickness, not only of the Giants front four. I would make an argument that that it could have as equally large an effect as the quickness of their wide receiving core for the Giants. They are a faster group, without a doubt, and a much more explosive and athletic group is a wide receiving core than the 49ers group. I'm not saying the 49ers group isn't a good group. They're a good group, and they have a great tight end in Vernon Davis. But that'll be, I think, something to certainly keep in mind as we get closer and closer to kickoff, and then once we do kick it off.
If the weather is, in fact, still a problem, or the after effects from torrential rains or just steady rains at play in, is this the one type of matchup where the entire game plan gets changed, especially because San Francisco's strength offensively seems to have been run, 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 and use it to set up the play action pass?
I've never had to do a game plan, Ed, so I don't know how much. When you're at this point now, there are no secrets out there. I mean, the Giants do what they do to win games, and they've been doing it the entire year. The 49ers, the exact same thing. So I would find it hard to believe. It's not to say you can't, you know, make some alterations or make some changes to surprise the other team as to, you know, when you're going to do a certain thing in a third down situation, or, you know, what you might do on first down if you're prone into running the ball more and more throughout the course of the year. Now you throw a little bit more on first down. You might see some of that. But, I mean, look, all four of the teams coming in to this weekend clearly have their strengths, and they clearly have their weaknesses from an offensive standpoint. And I just would find it hard to believe that they would deviate a great deal from what they've been doing that's gotten them here so far.
Tom, if the game is put into the hands of quarterbacks at the end of this Giants 49ers matchup, after what you saw from last week from Alex Smith, are you convinced that the Niners have as good of a chance in a close ball game where they have to make plays late in the passing game as the Giants with what we've seen from Eli Manning already?
Yes, I do. And I'm sure I would be in the minority on that, and only because the guy hasn't done it. But look, there was a point in time where everyone, the greatest players in postseason history, had never done it before. I mean, it's not like all of a sudden Joe Montana woke up one day and he had, you know, four Super Bowls and he was one of the great, you know, clutch passers in postseason history. He had to have that first run through the playoffs. Now, for Eli, he's had a couple and obviously won a Super Bowl. Flacco, you mentioned the pressure on him earlier. We know about Brady. He's already won three Super Bowls. So, you know, for Alex Smith, he doesn't have that resume of Brady or Eli in the postseason. But I tell you what, I would venture to say, and I know I could be wrong on this, but I would venture to say you would have a hard time in the history of postseason football finding a guy who was more clutch in the final 5 minutes of his very first playoff game last week than Alex Smith was.
Yeah, it caught me by surprise, but it was pleasant to see, especially if you're a Niners fan, what he was able to do. You got to have a first time for everything, and Alex Smith's was quite impressive. Tom Brenneman, NFL on Fox, joining us this Thursday on Southside Connection. Tom, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. We'd love to do it again.
We will. Take care of yourself.
It's good stuff from Tom Brenneman on Southside Connection. We are back after this, and we'll lock it up making our NFL picks. We going against the grain at all? Find out when we're back after this.